Welcome to the 115th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by Quizmaster Mark Davis. What's up, buddy?
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing A-OK.
Ooh, all right. A-OK. It's better than B-OK or C-OK.
I'm an A-person today. I'm an A-type.
Well, we're going to need to put on that B-person type energy because we have another night episode.
It's a night record.
Yep.
And but it's a Friday.
It's a Friday night. This is socializing on a Friday night in COVID-19 times.
I'm getting over a very bad back situation I had earlier this week.
You have a back situation as well. I have a neck thing going on.
Ooh, right now. Your neck, my back.
Mm-hmm. And Kyle Ann's. Hey, Kyle Ann's here.
Kyle, hello.
My wife.
How are you? My wife.
My wife.
Oh, there is going to be another Borat also. They made a secret Borat too. Yeah.
A secret Borat too.
I think I remember seeing some of the behind the scenes or like, you know, somebody discovered that he was pulling a prank at some kind of rodeo or something.
He did a thing, yeah, not as Borat, but this is I think this is another Borat movie did on the low.
Right. Borat.
And there, surprise, here's Borat too. So I'm pretty excited about that. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen Borat.
It's been a while. How are you, Kyle?
I'm all right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off.
I was going to ask, what was the country he was from? Is it Kazakhstan?
Yes.
Kazakhstan,
yes. But it's a fictionalized version of Kazakhstan.
I think it's a caricatured version of Kazakhstan. Yeah. Kazakhstan, one of the biggest countries.
I also feel like I vaguely remember like an internet thing when the initial Borat movie came out where people from Kazakhstan were like, this is not representative of our culture. Borat sucks. We hate Borat.
Yeah. I think the government, there was an official government response from Kazakhstan.
Well, yeah, I mean, he does a lot of the whole anti-Jew thing.
Throw the Jew down the well.
Yeah, so my country can be free.
Right, as the song goes in that movie. We're not saying that. Don't get us wrong,
yes,
folks.
Yeah. There's that. Surprise,
there's Borat too. You were going to say something. Boogaloo. I feel like you were going to say something. Kazakhstan. Oh, you said largest landlocked, or you said it was one of the largest countries. It's the largest landlocked country in the world, correct?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just looking that up.
We're getting hot on the trivia here already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remembering stuff.
So we have another quiz here. Kyle's going to guest sus with us once again.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Mark, the categories that I have for you today are Olympic athletes, French language, Caribbean food, method acting, video games, football. I know you're excited about football returning.
Oof.
And music legends.
Mm. Well, I'll be no help to you with the football.
Okay. Category. Hopefully I can.
There might be some clues you can pick up on in the football question.
I know zero things about
football. Oh, but there might be such as a geography clue or something like that that might help you suss out the answer.
Even that will not. I don't know things. I don't know things about football.
You're supposed to be here to suss.
Sports is my worst category. You know this.
You'll figure it out.
And for you, I have NBA.
I believe in you.
Oh, great.
I have
sports. Kobe.
Criminal defense attorneys.
my specialty.
Michael Cohen.
I have nuclear energy.
Hmm.
I have African countries.
It's Namibia. Babe, the answer is Namibia.
I have movie antagonists.
All right.
I'm here for it.
And then I don't know what I have at the end. I'll make some shit up.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
surprise
question.
Wow.
Well, I have 18 questions to choose from because you guys didn't play my
you're
trivia.
Free.
So.
Right. Your
freestyling.
There you go.
Woo!
Man, this is the closest I've had to gigging in months.
Well, speaking,
I can't remember what it's like.
Speaking of which, here in Florida, they have announced that the bars are going to be opening back up. So it's got me, you know, it's got me reminiscing about the old days when I would go out and host trivia live at the bars.
They'll wake up at 3:32 in the morning in a cold sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Just dreaming of answer sheets. Oh, did you hand in your answer? You didn't put a wager. And Kyle's like, shh, honey, go back to bed. It's okay. It's all right.
So, Mark, your experience hosting, you've been hosting live trivia now for 2 weeks at Nice Guys. I have. Any commentary on that experience?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm lucky in that Nice Guys has been really great about enforcing masks. And, you know, when I went back, Greg was like, hey, just so you know, like, I want you to wear a mask when you go around and pick up answer sheets. And I was like, no problem. You know, and, you know, we're doing the we'll talk about it, I guess, later on, probably the virtual punk rock karaoke thing, the fundraiser thing that we're doing.
Right.
And even for that, when people are in there, we're going to be wearing masks. So he's, you know, very, very big on it, doing a great job of making sure everyone's wearing. So it's been a great experience. They've been at, I think, 50% capacity, but they have a lot of outdoor seating. They're only open on one side, and they only have select seating on that side. And even when things like this happen, or even when they've gone to like full, occupancy, you know, they didn't, they've been, you know, kind of taking their time and, kind of riding their own wave. So it's been a good experience for me. You know, they've been taking temperatures at the door. They've done a bunch they've been doing a bunch of really awesome, measures to make sure that they're keeping people away from each other, and that they're not letting sick people in, and that if people are sick but aren't like showing symptoms, that they're, you know, contained. And I mean, it's just been great to be around people and to be in that situation again, and it's been a lot of fun. But you know, I'm worried, you know, bars opening up, of course, is exciting. You know, I know some of the venues you used to work at will probably be opening up back up soon.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from them, but I agree. And I can imagine that, you know, with this news coming out, it's going to have not only myself, but a lot of other quiz masters in the state ready, you know, to get back to work and get out there and hosting trivia. But it's really reliant on, you know, venues taking the proper precautions like Nice Guys is. You know, wearing masks, heavy sanitation, social distancing. Some of our leaders, you know, in states such as Florida and others don't necessarily, you know, subscribe to those notions or think that social distancing works even in some cases. But, you know, we don't want to see an increase with this. I know a lot of people are very excited to get back to things. And it's, you know, it is like, it's great news, you know, or it feels like, you know, like, yes, but at the same time, you know, we have to be very careful still, I think.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, numbers being down is good. And they have been down. I mean, you know, we were talking like 2,000 cases in Florida, as opposed to 9 or 10,000 cases at our height. That's great. I mean, 1/5 the number of cases, but just because they're down now doesn't mean they can't go back up. I think that's kind of the mindset people have, like, okay, great, they're down, and so we're good. And it's like, well, you know, it's the same problem I had. I think we may have talked about it here. Like, As much as I love Stephen Levitt from Freakonomics, he was talking about, you know, guns and gun safety, and he would talk about, oh, well, there's this small, only a small number of children who get shot, you know, by guns, da da da. And I was like, well, how much of that is taking into account the fact that the guns are locked up? You know, like, the precaution is part of the reason that the numbers are low. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, the reason that we're at 2,000 cases is because bars have been closed, because people haven't been in school, because, you know, X, Y, or Z. And now we're seeing the numbers creep a little bit up, and, oh, well, school has also been in for a little over a week, mm-hmm. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, is there any correlation there? And I know that correlation doesn't equal causation, and this isn't a political podcast or whatever, but, you know, it's just keeping an eye on the numbers, making sure that we're being diligent and being smart. And, you know, I will only go to restaurants where the people that are serving wear masks. I'll only go to places where there is, you know, seating, you know, with breaks in between tables, things like that. And, you know, I just think it's the smart thing to do and the responsible thing to do until, you know, we have steady decline or a vaccine or something like that. Personally, because I don't want to kill somebody.
No way. Yeah. Well, before we get to tonight's quizzes, Mark, how about we go over our weekly wrap up?
Let's do that.
How was Nice Guys Trivia on Wednesday this week?
It was very good. We had some fun teams in house. Seth just dominated. Mark Davis's Back Gremlin was his team name. This was
at
the height
of.
That's what he suspected I had. The next day, I went and got I went to a chiropractor and got an adjustment, and I think the gremlin jumped out of me.
Gremlin be gone.
He won the first round with 17 points, both out of people playing on Zoom and people playing in house. In the second round, he had 28 points, but he was beat by a couple teams, or by one team on Zoom, Whiskey Tango. And then in the third round, he won locally with 61 points. Whiskey Tango with 66 points in the last round, winning on Zoom. So they won as far as Zoom people are concerned, but not very far behind Mark Davis's Back Gremlin with 61 points. He took the sweep live at Nice Guys. How was your Thursday?
It was great. We had a bunch of folks hanging out, including Quiz Daddy Tommy and Leah, H-Bomb nice. And Friends, Grantastic Glenn and Apple, Whiskey Tango was there as well. New Proverbial Lightkeeper Lydia was playing, Rumble Snailskin Tiffany. Two other players were our winners, however. That would be Mariah and Kenya, winning quizzes number 71 and 72 respectively. Mariah with 132,092 points and Kenya with 118,057 points. Our audio round was a song identification of songs released in the year 2020, which I think a lot of our players found challenging. Newcomer Boogle Baps won that with 52,445 points.
Damn.
So those wins by Mariah and Kenya, they bring Mariah's victories to 3, where she joins Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt and Pandarar, and Kenya's victory count to 4, matching Seth, actually. Kenya and Seth are now tied with 4 victories as far as our no-nonsense trivia on Twitch goes. So the leaderboard is ever-evolving.
Good stuff.
Yes, and remember, you can play Nice Guys Pizza Trivia with Mark Davis on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Just find the link in the description of this episode, or you can go to the Nice Guys Pizza Facebook page and find it there. And also, if you're listening to this on Monday, our debut day, you can check out Punk Rock Karaoke. Mark will be playing drums and hosting Punk Rock Karaoke tonight at 8 p.m. on the Nice Guys Pizza page. Isn't that right, Mark?
It is, yeah. We're we're raising some money for sanitizer for a local middle school here. Wicked Dolphin, which is a rum distillery in Cape Coral, has started making sanitizer since the beginning of the pandemic. They're also going to be donating some sanitizer themselves. Tom Lotz from Cool Comics and Games is going to match whatever donations are made.
Hell yeah.
And the amount of donations that people get, you can donate basically as a tip to whatever performer you want to tip, and the person with the most donations is going to get a Nice Guys gift card. So something cool for them, and hopefully it's going to go well. If it does, we're going to do another one and may make it a semi-regular thing. We have 15 people. Tommy is going to be singing Linoleum by NoFX.
Nice.
And Buddy Holly by Weezer. So that's going to be a lot of fun. He's done the Linoleum with us before, and it was a lot of fun. Trying to think if anybody else that's been on the podcast is going to be on there. But Mike, who is a past multiple time guest, is going to be playing bass with us, and Andrew, who is a guest before, is going to be playing guitar. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a whole bunch of different kinds of music from 8 till 9:30 or 10. And yeah, that'll be on Nice Guys Facebook page, and I'll share it on my page, and maybe I'll share it on the No Nonsense page too.
I will be there, and I will be tipping.
Beautiful. Thank you.
If you want to play No Nonsense Trivia in the coming weeks, you can do so by visiting twitch.tv/No Nonsense Trivia, where we are streaming live on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media to stay updated on all of our podcast streams and events. Join us. Won't you?
Okay. All right.
Kyle, rate that harmony. You can be honest.
I feel like it resolved to, like, I guess it was a major, at least a slightly major-ish. I don't know. I need to listen back.
C minus, it sounds like. I need to listen back is not a good,
I don't know. I think it was.
I need to reference that later on.
Yeah, I'm thinking, yeah.
Well, we're gonna check that playback, and then we'll be back afterwards in round one with some trivia questions. And we're back. Mark, if you would please do us the courtesy of asking a trivia question.
Let's get this sports nonsense out of the way, shall we?
Yes.
Shall. What I meant to say.
What is the only NBA team to have all players choose the same message for their jersey this season? I know this is kind of timely. I know you like the evergreen, but mm-hmm. I think this is interesting. For anybody that doesn't know, the NBA this season has allowed players to put messages on their jersey. There's like, you know, a lot of them like Black Lives Matter, you know, et cetera, that you can get.
Mm-hmm. Is it
only one team? Every player has chosen the same message.
It's enforced, or they've done it as a group. They just decided.
They just decided to do it.
Okay.
Isn't it the Chiefs, or is that a
no? That's football. A football team.
Okay. See, this is what I'm saying. I don't know things.
The Chiefs were subject to booing from attendees at their game during a display of unity.
Mm-hmm. Real classy.
But that guys. is a football team.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. I don't think I could even name a basketball team.
I'm gonna guess that it's the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
And that the message is rest in peace, Kobe, or something similar.
Okay. That's a great guess. Yeah.
Since he had such an impact on the sport at large, and he recently passed away. That would be my guess. I think he played for another team too, but as a non-sports fan, I seem to recall him mostly playing for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Maybe even Mark, didn't you have a trivia question about this? Or maybe it was LeBron James. It was a 20-year streak. It was LeBron James, right? Played for 20 years.
No,
no.
It was not LeBron James.
Maybe it was Kobe then. We answered 21, I think. We had to guess, and we were off by one. Let's go with the Los Angeles Lakers.
I mean, yeah.
The Lakers.
That's incorrect. Wrong. So, the messages, there really are no messages like that about, like, a player. They're all basically related to current topical political things. Some of the messages are Black Lives Matter, say their names, I can't breathe, justice, peace, freedom, power to the people, say her name, si se puede, which is Spanish for yes, we can, liberation, see us, hear us, love us, and equality, which is what every player on the Dallas Mavericks mm-hmm. chose.
I didn't even know that was a basketball team name. Cool.
Well, you learned something here today.
I did.
Kristaps Porzingis and a couple of other players from other countries had equality in their home, their native language, on their jerseys. But they all chose equality. Equality was the most used saying in the NBA. LeBron, for what it's worth, did not choose to put a saying on his jersey, probably in large part because, you know, LeBron, his name is such a an important, you know, it's kind of a brand in into it, you know, unto itself.
Is it where the name usually goes? Is that where the messages
so
are displayed?
This is kind of the funny thing. So yes, it is. Mm-hmm. But their name will appear below. So there is a player that chose vote, and
his number his, four.
It is, yes, and his number is four, and so it says vote, and then it says four, and then has his last name, and I'm trying to find, I'm seeing if I have a picture of it, because I know I downloaded it, I can't remember if I screen capped it or downloaded it, but it is, yeah, it is very, very funny, here it is, I believe his first name is Ronnie Millsap. It says vote for Millsap.
That's funny. I recommend y'all look that up. It's very
is
funny.
Is he running?
He might be. And then Kobe Bryant, yes, did spend his whole career with the Lakers.
Oh, okay. 20 years, right?
Drafted by them. 20 or 21, I can't remember. You had said it before. And,
I think it's 20 even.
It might be.
Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we said 20 even. It's close. Something like that. All right. Are you guys ready for a Olympics question? Olympic athletes is sure. The category.
Oh, man. Sports all around.
We're getting it out of the way. And if you're a sports fan, we're hitting it up early.
There
basically,
you
it's your moment. Olympic athlete Reg Spears is known for shipping what in 1964 from England to his native Australia in a box labeled cans of paint? Reg Spears.
Red
Olympic
Spears.
Athlete.
Is that R-E-G?
Yes.
Reg Spears.
Yeah, I think it's cans short for Reginald, paint. Probably.
That sounds right.
Something so if
yes,
it's so if it's a box full of something labeled cans of paint, mm-hmm. It's probably something pretty heavy, right?
What year was this?
1964.
Shipped from the UK, you said?
Yes.
To Australia.
Yes.
Canned bread.
Beans.
But then why would you mislabel it? Cans of paint. I don't want anybody to know how much I like bread. It's not it. Okay, it's something contraband in Australia.
Olympic athlete. Could it be could it be steroids?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. Because maybe it'd be like vials of liquid. So it would be heavy in that same way.
Oh, it's not an A, it's just kinds of paint. Don't even bother looking. Hey, good day.
Yes, impeccable. Australian accent. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Yeah, no problem. That one's free.
I mean, steroids is good. I feel like it's something fucking ridiculous, though, knowingly. Or maybe Reg Spears is known for taking steroids. I don't know anything about Reg Spears. Reg Spears, this is the first time I've heard about him. It's the first time hearing his names tonight.
Could it, I was thinking maybe it's the Winter Olympics and he had snow.
It's cans of paint. British snow. It's lube. He needs that British lube.
It's snow. It's a cans of paint. Oh, it's so easy for it to be British. I just give up.
Just say raise up lights. Rise of Blights.
Rise of Blights.
Get a pack of Rise of Blights.
It could be weights.
Cans of paint. Why would you label it cans of paint? What would be cans of paint that even...
Does cans of paint sound like something in that with a accent?
Cans of pint. Cans of pint.
Ah, cancer paint.
That's what I was just... Cancer pint.
Cancer pint. Pints of...
Just pints of cancer.
There you go.
Maybe it's Guinness. Maybe it's Guinness. He loves the Guinness draft. Kegs of Guinness. He likes the kegs because it is different in Ireland. It's different from the UK than it is everywhere.
They ain't going to have Falsters over there.
Falsters.
No dingoes.
Maybe. What do you think? I'm thinking steroids or Guinness or beer.
Let's say steroids.
Yeah, that's probably better, I guess.
We're going to say steroids.
Let's say steroids.
No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. The correct answer is himself. Himself.
What?
He went to London. He was a javelin thrower to compete in the games. And once he was there, realized his injury was not going to heal and he was not going to make it to the Olympic Games that year. So, and he did not have any money to return home because his compensation was not good. So he took an airport job, and while he was there, he concocted the scheme. Had a friend help him build a box that he could ship himself in. Went to Paris first. While he was on the way there, he, in mid-flight, got out of the box. It was built in such a way that he could take the ends off and get out and stretch his legs. He peed in a cup, and the plane started to descend. And he forgot. He got nervous and got back in the box, but forgot to take the pee back off. And he heard the Parisians talking about how disgusting the English were. For leaving the can of pee on the top of this box, and oops. then eventually made his way back to his native Australia successfully. Yeah, it worked. He made it all the way back. He said once he got into the airport and got out of the box, there was basically no security. He just like found like a fence that he had to hop over and hitched a ride back to his home where his family was.
Wow!
But Spears would later he had a crazy life. He later got arrested for drug smuggling, both in Australia and then.
I mean, if you can smuggle a human,
exactly. Later,
why not smuggle drugs
in India? He was actually sentenced to death in India. He was extradited there for a variety of drugs that were found in his possession. He found a reprieve. He still had to serve 5 years time there, but was eventually released and wrote a book about all of these adventures. Out of the Box, I think, is what it's called. If you want to check that out.
Wow.
How perfect. All right, here's your second question. What criminal defense attorney was known for representing Ernest Medina for the My Lai massacre in Vietnam? Patty Hearst for her bank robberies after being kidnapped, as well as being part of O.J. Simpson's dream team at his murder trial in 1994?
Johnny Cochran.
That was what I was hoping that OJ would come up, but if that's true, I had no idea. I know he was already a celebrity, well, not a celebrity attorney, but he was a famous attorney by the time that he came on to OJ's defense team.
Yes.
So I did not know about his associations with Patty Hearst. I mean, I always associate him with OJ Simpson and the character that is based on him from Seinfeld. I always associate those two things, but I had no idea if it's true about the Patty Hearst thing or the Vietnam connection. The My Lai massacre, is that what you said?
I thought it was My Lai.
I could
be wrong.
I've heard it pronounced as My Lai, but
okay. My Lai. You want to go with Johnny Cochran? Are there any other... There's another guy that was on his defense staff, right?
See, I know literally no other names.
Mm-hmm.
Only Johnny Cochran. Older.
And there was Marsha.
There was Johnny Cochran and what's his face? Kardashian dude.
Robert Kardashian.
Was that him? Robert, is that his first name?
Mm-hmm.
That's like why the Kardashians are the Kardashians.
Oh boy.
So I think.
Why are you bringing him up now?
But Robert Kardashian. You said, wait, you said defense attorney or prosecutor?
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, Robert Kardashian was part of the defense.
Yes, he was.
So as well as Johnny Cochran.
So who do you think?
Shit.
Robert Kardashian or Johnny? Because I was under the impression that Robert Kardashian was a friend of OJ's, and that's why he was a part of the defense team. Like, he wasn't like a he was his lawyer, but not like on a grand scale like Johnny Cochran was.
Yeah.
I think if we're going to, because I can't think of any other defense attorneys that could possibly be associated with any of those cases except
it feels like Cochran had more clout.
Yes.
At the time. Let's go with it. Johnny Cochran. Johnny Cochran.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Damn it. Okay.
The correct answer is F. Lee Bailey.
I don't even think I've ever heard that name before.
F. Lee Bailey. Okay. Yes. Some of his notable cases also include Sam Shepard.
Oh.
Who was
murdered.
I was thinking of Matthew
Shepard. My bad.
No,
you're thinking of Matthew Shepard. Sam Shepard was tried for the murder of his wife.
Oh, no.
Marilyn. Yeah, you're just going to keep guessing.
How many times can I be wrong?
A lot, apparently. Shepard had been denied due process and won a retrial. F. Lee Bailey, basically, that was his start as far as getting established as a skilled defense attorney. He also, the person who considered himself the Boston Strangler, he was the defense attorney for him, Albert DeSalvo. Ernest Medina, who was a U.S. Army captain, was court-martialed for the responsibility of the My Lai massacre during the Vietnam War. Basically knew about everyone going around and killing non-combatants all willy-nilly. He only confessed to knowing one, which was a woman hiding in a ditch who came out with her hands up, and he shot her because he thought she had a grenade. Medina was acquitted and subsequently left the army. He later worked at a helicopter corporation plant in which, guess what? Bailey had an ownership stake in it. Mm. So pretty outstanding.
Wow.
Patty Hearst, which he lost that and ended up being kind of like a red mark on his, his otherwise wonderful record of being a piece of garbage. And then, of course, O.J. Simpson, in which he was in the dream team along with the people that you mentioned, Johnny Cochran, Kardashian, etc.
F. Lee Bailey. I've definitely heard the name, and now I know the stories.
There you are.
All right. This one is French language. Kyle, you might need to recuse yourself from this one if you remember. You let me know. French language.
Okay.
Is the category. Once meaning idiot or nincompoop in French slang, the word cornichon would refer to what charcuterie board item? I think it's cornicone.
I heard you. Okay, so I heard you pronouncing cornicone. It, but I don't actually didn't. We didn't discuss like what that meant. So I don't know. We can suss it out.
Okay.
Is this one word?
Yes. Once meaning idiot or nincompoop in French slang, the word cornicone.
That's cool.
Would refer to what charcuterie board item?
Can you spell it?
C-O-R-N-I-C-H-O-N.
Means idiot or nincompoop?
Yes, it once meant that in French slang, but it would also, in a modern context, refer to what charcuterie board item?
Well, Kyle, you're a charcuterie board expert. I know you've had a number of charcuterie boards.
Yeah, that's like our weekend thing. Typically, we have them on either Fridays or Saturdays. Last week it was Friday. This weekend's going to be Saturday. It's going to be tomorrow.
Okay, I don't need your charcuterie
sketch.
Fucking weekly situation here. I need to know what comes on a charcuterie board. I know there's meat and cheese.
Cornicone. Meat and cheese. Typically, there's like a palate cleanser, like a pickle of pickled something.
Pickled egg.
Sometimes there's like on the Delicious Rosie Tomorrow's charcuterie board, they have a pickled egg. It's absolutely magnificent.
Hashtag not an ad.
Hashtag please send us
for Rosie Tomorrow. Hashtag an ad. Rosie Tomorrow.
Well, I just mean they haven't paid us to say that.
Yeah, yeah. No, but they are awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can tell me like how like how direct do we need to be here? Is this like
you can be general?
Okay,
I'll allow a certain generality.
See, cornucopia.
So there's bread.
Yes. Typically bread, there's crackers.
There's meat.
Meat, cheeses, a fruit. And again, like a palate cleanser, like some sort of like pickle.
Right.
Or like a kimchi.
Then there's usually like a jelly.
Sometimes.
Is there some kind of like a meat pate?
Sometimes. Yes, there is a pate. Sometimes. And yeah, that would be like, maybe it's a pate, but pate, isn't pate a French word?
You would think, yeah. The only thing I can think of is chicharrón in Spanish is like fried pig skin.
Yes.
At Death by Taco on the chicken tinga.
And you know who else has great chicharrón? Chicharrones, however you say it. Is Rosie Tomorrow's. Anyway.
Hashtag so, still not an ad.
Still not. I'm sorry. I just, man, we're talking about charcuterie and all I want is some motherfucking charcuterie from that place. It's so good. Anyway. So I thought that the French word for ham was lardon, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's like, because I feel like I saw it in one of those like French cooking things, like channel things, and maybe it was just specifically referring to bacon, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like more than one way to say it.
Yeah, either way, I don't have any other, I have no alternative guess to that. So
all right, Lee, I think we're gonna say ham meat.
No, I'm sorry. That's wrong. It is not ham meat.
I want to say meat ham.
No, it's not meat ham either. The correct answer?
Meat.
Cornichon, it means pickle.
Oh,
pickle
is the answer.
We said it.
That's
we
not meat
so
at all.
No.
We were
no.
so close. And you know what?
We did graze over pickle.
Yeah, and like Nimrod or nincompoop.
I think it might have been even the first thing you guys started talking about.
I'm like, well, there's usually like these things and also a palate cleanser, such as a pickle.
Yes, you did say that.
So the origin here is corn means horns, and pickles were thought to resemble one half of a pair of horns. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but how did it become an insult, you might be wondering? Well, the phrase port de corn, which means to wear horns in French, turned into the pun cornichon, which sounds kind of similar. And stags, horned male deer, are known to give up their mates to rivals upon defeat. So the term was adopted, cornichon, in similar usage to the pejorative of cuck, what we might say in English, to call somebody a pickle, was kind of like referring to them as a stag, basically.
Huh.
And now we put them on our charcuterie.
Indeed we do. All right, are you ready for your last question?
Yes.
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 As
yes.
Of, okay. As get it together. As of 2020, this year, which European country got approximately 75% of its electricity from nuclear power, the most of any country?
Nuclear. You've been watching that Zac Efron show? This sounds like something that they would put on that show. Have you seen that, Mark?
No.
I think it's called Zac Efron Sleeps on the Couch of the World or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's called.
It's a travel show where one of Zac Efron's author buddies was like...
Darren Criss or whatever his name is, who is
come
like,
travel with me and people will know who you are and I can get my message out.
It is like...
Look at these wind turbines.
It is like the Keeping Up with the Kardashians of travel shows. It's fucking hilarious, and I watched all of it.
Whoa, these things are cool.
Like, there's just, I want there to be a supercut of Zac Efron just saying, well, and everything. Because, like, he just has nothing else to say about, like, the natural beauty of the world because he's so jaded. You know
that show's
I mean?
Probably like, anti-nuclear, right?
It is, actually.
Okay. I just want to say, I just felt like I had this really good joke idea because you were talking about a magician. And I was like, oh, there's a magician with the last name Chris. And I was like, there's some kind of joke there about Peter Chris and the magician with the last name Chris. But his first name is Chris. It's Chris Angel.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So
doesn't Peter work. Chris Angel.
Also, his, I think his last name we can is definitely spelled make like a C-R-I-S-S, not like.
I think Peter Chris spells his name C-R-I-S-S.
Yes, you're right.
But it doesn't matter.
Okay, anyway.
My whole plan has just gone to shit.
It's gone to shit. Well, if nothing else, we got Peter Chris Angel as a episode title here. So
Peter Chris.
So what European country is big on nuclear energy? The UK.
Would it be in poor taste? I'm so kidding. I'm not even going to say it. Anyway, moving on. So the UK, big on nuclear energy?
I mean, they're a nuclear superpower.
Are they?
Yes. They have nuclear weapons. They're one of the few countries in the world that are allowed to.
It's a European country?
They are a European country.
I'm saying, like, I know... Wow.
I don't know if they're having weapons has to do with their power, but I have to imagine they've got to be somewhat related. You have to have some knowledge of one to make the other, and vice versa, right?
Yeah. I guess I'm just...
You know who's really industrious is Germany.
Yeah.
I could see them being a contender.
But Mark's question is specifically referred to European countries, just reiterating that.
What about that? I mean, those are both European countries.
Yeah, I'm just for my own sussing. Mm. I couldn't remember if he said European or just.
Yes, he said European.
Okay. Okay. Mm. That's what I was asking. Okay.
European.
European. European.
Portugal, Spain, Italy, Iceland,
nuclear power.
Norway. So many more countries I'm not mentioning. Austria, Poland, France.
Let's just go with the UK. I can't think
could
of
it
any.
Be France?
France.
It could be.
Well, the Zac Efron episode about France was about their clean water initiatives. Not there.
Peter
nuclear.
Chris Angel Olsen twins.
He's going.
Fantastic.
Thank
it's
you.
It's nice to be the quiz master during a sus because you just do whatever the fuck you want.
Just let you guys prattle on.
See, I just tried to, I made the same mistake you did because I was like Olsen twins, Thompson twins, but you can't fit Thompson in. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
When you have these useless references, you can't squeeze into your inside jokes.
Yeah, it's anyway. Tough.
You want to go with UK?
Let's just go with UK.
UK.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
What is it?
The correct answer may surprise you. The correct answer is France.
Oh, it is France.
And it's France.
Indeed.
Damn it.
Zac Efron, why didn't you talk about their nuclear energy? Zac Efron.
I don't know why I had this feeling it was France. 75% of the country's energy?
75% of their energy, yes, comes from nuclear power. They have 57 nuclear reactors.
You know what should have done it for us is the Paris Accords. Like, they are thinking about energy and the climate and stuff. And I can see them being like, we're going to move away from fossil fuels to this clean nuclear energy. Boom. 75%. Here you go.
This is from world-nuclear.org. They say France's present electricity generation mix is a result of the French government deciding in 1974, just after the first oil shock, to expand rapidly the country's nuclear power capacity using Westinghouse technology. Yes, when oil prices skyrocketed, when there was, you know, giant lines, they were basically like, we need to not have this keep happening. We need to not be reliant on this. As a result,
necessity is the mother of invention.
They say that, yes, as a result of the 1974 decision, France now claims a substantial level of energy independence and almost the lowest cost electricity in Europe. So, nice. Yeah.
So, right.
Over 90% of its electricity is nuclear or hydro.
Caribbean food is the category I have for my final category for you guys.
Bring it on, Quiz Daddy.
For round one.
Caribbean food.
What Jamaican dish typically involves seafood, plantains, yam, tomato, and onion stewed in coconut milk?
Kyle's just burning a fucking hole through the side of your head.
I was just reading about
what Jamaican dish typically involves seafood, plantains, yam, tomato, and onion stewed in coconut milk.
I wish I knew more about Jamaican food. There was a Jamaican place in the mall that was pretty great.
I remember.
But every time I'd go there, I would just get like jerk chicken.
Say Jamaican patty?
I would get a patty.
Hell yeah.
And I would get beans and rice.
Yay.
Cornbread?
And you could get a second meat, and I would get curry chicken.
Ooh.
And they had curried goat, oxtail.
Oh, hell yeah.
God, it was so good.
Sounds amazing.
But what is this called?
I don't know.
Kyle, I'll be honest with you. I am not so sure. I mean,
I feel like I remember reading about this recently when I had to like write a trivia question about it. This is like always the case with me. Like I remember like vaguely skimming over things and then not retaining it in my brain.
Can you read it one more time?
Absolutely. What Jamaican dish typically involves seafood, plantains, yam, tomato, and onion stewed in coconut milk?
I simply don't know. But I want to eat it right now. I would eat that.
Seafood with yams, plantains, onions,
tomato.
Seafood, tomato.
Caribbean curry.
And coconut milk.
Coconut milk. Boy. I have a feeling I just don't know what it's called. Your guess is as good as mine. If you want to say Caribbean curry, we can. That's fine. I can't think of what it's called. It's nothing I would eat because I don't know. I don't eat seafood. So it makes my dick swell up.
You should eat more seafood, Mark. I'm no doctor, but you should eat more.
That's just, I mean, I literally have no other guess.
We're going to say Sebastian the Crab.
Perfect.
No, Mark, I'm sorry. Sorry to disappoint you. It is not Sebastian the Crab.
Uh-huh.
The correct answer is Rundown.
Never
Rundown
heard of that.
Is the name
yes,
of it.
Yes, I have read about this. God damn
named
it.
Named by which the juices run down the meat.
Yes.
And the coconut milk is reduced. Rundown.
Yes. Named after the diarrhea that runs down your ass crack after you have a bowl of it.
No. I want to try this.
Well, that's fine.
It might give me diarrhea, though. I don't know.
It will.
But the ingredients vary by region. Coconut milk is the through line, though. It's always a stew with coconut milk. In Nicaragua, they use fish, beef, pork, and turtle meat. In Costa Rica, it would be lobster, crab, chili, cassava, and taro root. And in Colombia, they use conch and snails.
And cocaine. Which,
Rundown originated in Jamaica, but was exported to Latin America by the Afro-Jamaican immigrant workers who traveled for projects like the Panama Canal and Costa Rican railroads during the 19th century.
Huh.
Rundown.
Sounds disgusting, and I've never heard that before. Now I learned a little something.
It's commonly found on the menu at Jamaican restaurants, so I'm sure this is going to be a Bernard Meinhof type thing, Mark, where next time you're in there and you're getting your jerk chicken, you might not order the rundown, but I bet you'll see it on the menu.
That place has been closed for a couple of years now, so.
Another will rise. Yes.
Another one.
Hopefully. Another one. Let's take a break. Maybe you guys can cook up some rundown and try it. And I can
have coconut milk in the
shalalalalalong, shalalalalalalalalong, rundown, shalalalalalalong, shalalalalalalalalong. All right, we're gonna take a break now.
Bye.
All right, we're back. No miscorrection or no notes this week.
Look at that.
All quiet on the trivia front.
Indeed.
Because we are perfect.
Lee, we're going to make them sweat till they can't sweat no more. And when they cry out, what are we going to do?
We're going to feed them another trivia question, Quiz Daddy.
Okay. Well,
Inner Circle. I'm not going to say that problematic lyric.
Inner Circle had a different idea.
If you do have a miscorrection for this episode, though, or rate my question, we'll be getting to those a little bit later, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media. Okay. Method acting is the category that I've lined up for your guys' first question.
Okay.
Mark, do you wear cologne?
No.
No? This is a cologne-related question. What actor typically picks a different cologne for each character, but opted for baby oil during the filming of Furious 7, where makeup artists were also instructed to not, quote, remove any sweat in between takes? What actor typically picks a different cologne for each character, but opted for baby oil during the filming of Furious 7, where makeup artists were also instructed to not remove any sweat in between takes?
Do not remove the sweat, or you will be fired. Who the fuck was in Furious 7? Did anybody see? I haven't seen any of the Fast and Furious movies, because who cares?
I have a guess.
Yes, what's your guess?
The Rock?
Was he in it?
I think so. I think Vin Diesel's the one that has been in like all of them, right?
Yes. Yes. He's in the first one.
And then I think The Rock. Okay. Hold on. Wait a minute. No. Jason Statham?
Was he in that?
Well, there's that movie that came out that was like a Fast and Furious like movie that wasn't a Fast and Furious. It was like in the same universe. But it wasn't a Fast and Furious movie.
Oh, really?
And it was Hobbs and Shaw. And Jason Statham was in that.
So do you think, does Jason Statham strike you as like a method actor who would wear different colognes for each character he plays?
He makes me think of someone who would think of themselves as a method actor.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't think Dwayne The Rock Johnson seems like much of a method actor. Or would do... Well, I don't know. I have heard he takes acting very seriously, so maybe he would like do method acting just to improve his skill.
How many method actors do you know?
Daniel Day-Lewis is a method actor. So is Leonardo DiCaprio and Christian Bale. Who else?
Adam Sandler.
Have you seen that? Like
Jack and Jill? Yes. And I mean, I was.
He no, plays both roles.
Apparently, he like was quoted recently as saying like, and I could be totally wrong on this, but
totally it, wrong. But, don't say
well,
it.
It was well. It was tweeted by Jay Bauman, who like who does not tweet like nonsense. You know, movie critic, Red Letter Media dude. Anyway, so apparently Adam Sandler like said something along the lines of like, I'm gonna make the worst movie ever since Uncut Gems was snubbed at the Oscars.
Oh, I did see that. Yes.
You did see that? Yeah. Okay, so I'm not wrong. Shut up,
don't miscorrect us, folks.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think any of those people were in Fast and Furious 7.
Furious 7. How many Furious movies are there? Is it 8? Are there 8 of them, right? Am I wrong?
I think there's more now.
Oh god, there's more? Why would they do that? This isn't The Land Before Time. This is Fast and Furious. Why do we need so many of them?
This isn't a kid's cartoon. This is an adult.
I'm just saying, didn't we learn from The Land Before Time? Didn't we learn from this? But no, please, let's make a zillion Fast and Furious movies. That's what the world needs.
Well, I think one of the most current Fast and Furious movies is the highest grossing movie of all time.
Well, I don't want to live in this country anymore, okay?
Or had the highest grossing weekend or something like that.
Yeah, whatever. Heathens.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of other like method actors that would have like popped in there.
Somebody had like a villain part or something.
Yeah, you know? I'm just trying to think of. I mean, like maybe like Anthony Hopkins like as a villain or something.
Yeah, I don't think he's method, honestly.
That's the thing. I just don't know what makes an actor a method actor. I mean, I do. Like the people that you're mentioning, I never thought of Leonardo DiCaprio as one, but
yes, he's method.
Definitely the other ones. But it definitely makes Jason Statham seem not like a possible answer.
Is Jeremy Irons in any of the Fast and Furious movies?
I just want to real quick qualify method acting. This act of choosing a cologne for the character. Mm-hmm. Is good enough to define them as a method actor because you're considering what the character would do and adjusting your real life behavior.
So that's literally the only thing they do that's method is change their fucking cologne.
It's very light level method acting, but I'm not saying that that's the only thing that they do or not. I'm just, you know, the clues that you have to work with are they were in Furious 7 and they do this cologne thing.
Okay.
And they were instructed. They instructed their makeup artist to not remove any sweat in between takes.
Who would be really sweaty? I mean, let's just go with Jason Statham.
It's either him or The Rock.
Let's just do Jason Statham because I can't think of literally any other option. And Haley, I haven't seen the movie and I don't ever want to see any of these dumb movies. So
your wife wants to do Jason Statham. You hear that?
He's literally
after that scene in Crank 2.
He is not attractive to me.
What's his name? Chevy and Crank? Chevy Chase?
Who cares? Crank was... Oh my god, remember when you made me watch the beginning of
Chevy
Crank?
Chevy Chellis.
And I'm like, what
something?
The fuck are we watching?
I really thought Crank was going to go over better, and then I realized in the moment when we were watching it, like, oh, this movie's not really...
It's not good.
Kyle's not
it's
enjoying
not,
this.
It's not good.
Kyle, are you sure we don't want to go with The Rock?
If you're feeling more The Rock...
I'm not positive The Rock is in it, but I think he is.
Whichever one you're feeling. I mean, I don't remember Jason Statham ever being in a Fast and Furious movie, but that would be on brand for him.
What do you think, Jason Statham or The Rock? I know Jason Statham was in Hobbs and Shaw. Was he in Vin Diesel?
The Rock is like a baby, like he, that is a baby oil.
He is a baby oil man, isn't he?
Doesn't he seem like a baby oil man? Because
he gets all oiled up.
Yeah. Maybe that's just.
Let's go with a rock. We're going to go with a rock. Let's go with a rock.
That's correct.
Oh!
Very good. You guys sussed out the baby oil man.
I'm so glad that we last second switched.
Mm-hmm. I see you.
Yes, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He chose Kenzo cologne for the movie Central Intelligence. And for the movie San Andreas, he chose Creed cologne. Now, I was kind of intrigued by this choice. Like, okay, he's taking this cologne stuff really seriously. And I don't recognize either of these colognes, so let me check them out real quick. Kenzo, which he got for his character in Central Intelligence, who is a CIA agent, is $40 for a 4-ounce bottle. Meanwhile, his character of rescue chopper pilot in San Andreas, who wears Creed, is $220 for a 2-ounce bottle.
Jesus.
So it's nearly
Christ.
10 times more expensive. And I was like, whoa, why is the rescue chopper pilot wearing this expensive ass cologne? Maybe do rescue pilots just make a shitload of money? But it turns out they make the same amount of money as CIA agents do, approximately $80,000 to $100,000 more. So why? Why? Is the rescue chopper pilot from San Andreas, is he on the prowl? Is he looking for a lady to make his own? No! The plot of the movie, he's got his wife by his side, and they're trying to rescue his kid. What's he wearing all this expensive cologne for? I don't get it.
Because he never stops trying to smell nice for his wife.
$220?
That's terrible.
That is expensive cologne. You know what I think it actually
is? For
2
ounces, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
And the Kenzo with the CIA agent cologne is $40 for 4 ounces. Mm-hmm. Much more reasonably priced. I think what it is that The Rock gets all of these colognes for free, and he says, I'm going to make your cologne famous in my next movie.
The perfume I wore when we got married was like, I think, $150 a bottle.
Okay, but that's, you know, it's not your daily rescue chopper pilot cologne.
I mean, I'd wear it if I was feeling fancy.
I just think, you know, if you're going to like pick the cologne out.
Also, it was a gift from Jenna, just saying. I didn't buy that.
All right, you ready for your next question? Your first yes. question of the second round.
Yes.
Algeria.
Mm-hmm.
Became the largest country in Africa as of 2011, when what country became divided into two?
Am I wrong that there's like a...
Is it our synchronous look at each other, Mark, that you're laughing at?
Your body went like.
That's my neck.
And for those
Batman like moves right now.
Because you cannot see what I did. It was almost like he was like grabbed by a giant pair of fingers by the nape of the neck. And just lifted up and turned 45 degrees.
Yeah, my neck is very stiff right now.
Okay, so...
Your neck, my back.
Mm-hmm. Kyle's anyway.
Wrap. Anyway, so...
We'll take care of that.
We'll fix that in post. Kyle, you're not allowed to talk about your tits on this podcast.
I was talking...
Unless you were talking about... Unless you were talking about a wine or gun rack.
I said WAP.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't
rhyme.
We could
change that, but we could change it to WAT for WAT.
My neck, my back, my WAP.
For
yeah, WAP doesn't rhyme.
Anyway. so.
I have a crazy answer here.
Okay.
French Algiers. It was already huge, and then it got split, and one of them was bigger.
And glittery substance.
And a little bit became something else. And Algeria maintained the Algier part. Because wasn't French Algiers a country? That them became Algeria?
I believe so. Also, isn't there like Niger and Nigeria? Am I wrong?
I don't know if they're next to each. Well, yeah, my geography, not my strong suit.
Or maybe Nigeria is like, it's not Nigeria anymore. It's Niger and something else that I
think.
Can't
no,
remember.
I'm pretty sure Nigeria is still a country.
That's what I thought too. But then what's Niger?
Another country.
I thought it was pronounced Niger too, but I could be wrong.
There's also a...
What about the Democratic Republic of Congo?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like, that was a huge country, wasn't it? And then it, maybe it's split?
Isn't it now called the Democratic Republic of Congo?
Yes, it used to be just called Congo.
Right.
And I could have sworn that was like a huge, I remember looking at a map as a kid and it was like a big old, like Central Africa, right? Congo?
Yeah, it could be Congo. There was that movie called Congo. It was not called Democratic Republic of Congo.
No, it wasn't called.
That came
called.
Out in the 90s. And maybe French Algiers just became Algeria, and that's the whole story. It didn't split.
What do you think we should go with? What are you feeling?
I like Congo. Honestly, that thought came into my mind first.
Okay.
But we just, yeah, we got to it. I feel good about Congo.
Okay.
Congo. Democratic Republic of Congo.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Wrong.
All right. Lay it on us.
I'm sorry, Kyle.
It's okay.
So, French Algeria is the name of Algeria while the French were in
charge. Oh, Algiers is the capital of Algeria.
Algiers
isn't it?
Is the capital of Algeria, yes.
Damn it.
From 1830 to 1962, French Algeria was the official name. Also known as Colonial Algeria. The country I was looking for was Sudan. Now, Sudan and South Sudan. South Sudan getting
right.
their own slice of the pie, splitting Sudan in two and making Algeria the largest country in Africa. Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo. As referenced in one of my favorite podcasts of all time, podcast episodes, Travel Bug with August Lint from the Andy Daly podcast, is also a rather large country, is to the southeast. But I'm not sure exactly. It was formerly called Zaire.
Okay.
It is the second largest in all of Africa after Algeria. So okay. You are correct. You are on
it
the
was
right.
Third.
Yeah. Yes. So you were correct. You were on the right idea or on the right path there, Kyle. So don't beat yourself up.
Okay.
You did good, kid.
Why? Thank you, sir.
Video games is my next category for y'all.
Bring it on, Quiz Daddy.
Legends, Battle Network, and Star Force are all spinoffs of what popular video game series that began in 1987 and was developed by Capcom?
What are they again?
Legends, Battle Network, and Star Force are all spin-offs of what popular video game series that began in 1987 and was developed by Capcom?
Is it the Capcom God, what is it? It was like Super Smash Brothers, but for like superheroes. You know what I'm talking about?
Marvel versus Capcom.
Is that it? Yeah.
I mean, that's a game. I don't know if it came out in 1987.
I don't either.
But, I mean, it's definitely a Capcom game, I'd guess.
Capcom. I can't think of anything Legends. Else Capcom. And that would be, like...
Battle Network and Star Force.
That could make Star sense Force. For, like...
Star Force? Kyle.
Kyle. Do you have any other guesses? I'm open to suggestions, Mark Davis.
I mean, legends, battle something, Star Force,
Battle Network.
What a bunch of weird fucking names. I mean, Star Force makes me think it's something that takes place out in space, asteroids, or something like that.
You mean with Marvel superheroes that live in space?
Why like are you Guardians? Talking about Marvel superheroes? You're just hung up.
I'm not hung
you're
up.
You're married to a comic book geek, and now you got Marvel on the brain.
We're looking around this room. There's just Marvel posters everywhere.
Well, that's DC, but
hey, I'll have you know, there's some DC stuff up there too.
True.
There's that pretty sweet Alex Ross.
Justice League.
It's funny because I've been so distracted by it because he clearly had the same male model. Their faces are identical.
I have to confess something.
Yes.
Tonight I got out of work and I was like, oh, doing the podcast. And I almost started driving to your house. I had to drop someone off. I had to drop someone off to work. And I was headed that way. And I drove past college and I was like, oh shit, wait a minute. It's like, hold on. Yeah. Bring it on back. Reel it back.
That's okay.
I can't wait.
One day. So I'm thinking something like Asteroids or Space Invaders. Maybe a classic game like that.
Oh yeah, that's way better.
But I mean, I think those games may have came out in the 70s. I don't know, 87?
Asteroids, yeah, 87 does feel a little late for Asteroids, for sure.
But it definitely seems early for Marvel versus Capcom, yes?
I mean, not if it was their first, not if it was an NES type game, you know what I mean? And Marvel's been around for a long time.
Yeah, just that battle, that star fucking whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
What about Star Fox?
Is that a Capcom game?
I don't know. Don't know.
Mega Man.
See, I was thinking Mega Man possibly, but Mega Man doesn't really have any star related stuff.
Isn't he in space though?
I don't know where the fuck he is.
He's in space. Isn't Mega Man in space?
I don't know. He's jumping around on land, fighting fucking scissor people, and
he was in space.
Cut Man. Dick Man.
Paku.
Windman. Cutman. Rainman.
There's
Ness
in there. Cutsman.
There's I don't know. I'm thinking maybe. I mean, Star Fox is good. Guess. So is. What do you. I mean, let's.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of something space involved because of the star thing. Kyle.
Hmm.
You all right?
I'm just torn.
The
I
sound
don't know.
Of the sus.
Yeah, let's go with Star Fox.
Okay, let's
we're going to say Star Fox.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is Mega Man. Mega Man Legends, Mega Man Battle Network, and Mega Man Star Force are three spinoffs. There are more spinoffs and actually over 122 official Mega Man releases
since
1987. Yes.
I should have.
Fuck.
Sucked to
me. I mean, there's
you should have what? Gone with fucking Marvel again?
No, I should have said Mega Man instead of
Mega Man. Mega Man.
Yeah. Mega Man. Mega Man's a little bitch.
Wow. That's not right. One of your picks in Marvel versus Capcom.
I do
Capcom,
not
huh?
like playing Mega Man and Smash Brothers. I do not.
See?
I do not.
Right, who's your main?
Kirby.
Kirby.
Mark, do you have a Smash Brothers main? Playing as Kirby.
I don't play. Don't know enough. Sorry.
Love playing as Kirby, and I love playing as Sheik, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. I go with random. I just like trying them all out. No strategy.
All right, here's your next question. Movie antagonists. Amon Goeth is one of the main antagonists in what movie? Amon Goeth is one of the main antagonists in what movie?
Would you mind spelling that?
I would.
Mm-hmm. You would mind? I'm yeah. sorry.
So I won't.
Please do it anyway.
Okay. First name is Amon. The last name, there's two possible spellings. One is G O with an umlaut T H. Second is G O E T H.
I'm just throwing out a couple thoughts that I had. First, I was thinking maybe True Lies. I know there's I don't know. It kind of sounds like a Middle Eastern name, and there's some Middle Eastern terrorists in that movie as the villains. But now I'm thinking maybe it's Apocalypse from X-Men Apocalypse. That could be Apocalypse's like Pharaoh name or something like that. That's a comic book character. But they did make a movie. It sounds so familiar.
It does.
Umlauts, though. Umlauts are not Middle Eastern. Umlauts are like German.
That isn't Ben Kingsley's character from that one superhero movie.
The Mandarin in Iron Man 3?
Yes.
No.
That's not him? Okay, no, what about...
I don't think so. I'll be very embarrassed if that's the answer, but I really don't think so. Amon Goeth? Goeth? Goeth?
Amon Goeth.
Goeth.
Is how I've heard it pronounced.
It does sound German.
It's not Die Hard. Amon? Is that a German name?
Amon.
What about Shazam? What's that guy's name? We're just going down the comic book movie rabbit hole right now, but...
I know this.
And you described them as an antagonist, right?
One of the main antagonists.
And you didn't give a year on this movie, did you?
I did not.
So
I did.
Every movie is that.
I did give them the year when I asked it at my trivia, but I gave you guys a little bit of a harder version. Mm. Would you like me to give you the
year? Can we please have the year? Please.
She has to ask too.
Yes, please. Can I please have the year?
1993.
Lawnmower Man. Now,
when did the last Indiana Jones Last Crusade come out?
I don't think 93. What did come out in 93? Batman Forever, maybe?
No, that was like later. I thought that was like 96. Batman Forever was Val Kilmer?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was early 90s. Because there's Batman and Robin was like 98.
Mm-hmm. 1993. It's like in second grade.
What about...
main antagonist. Terminator 2. No.
Not Terminator.
Hook.
It's not Hook.
Maybe it is an Indiana Jones movie.
93 would make sense for The Last Crusade, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the name.
That I've only seen that movie once a long time ago. That is my least... What's that?
Elsa was the name of, like, the German lady, but she also had, like, an older dude that she was, like, working with.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, the main antagonist. I don't remember what his name was, but he was, like, a German dude.
I'm okay with this answer. I really don't know. I don't have any better guesses, so... Yeah. And it sounds like a German name. It makes logical sense.
I was also thinking maybe Stargate.
Oh.
That was my only other guess for some reason that popped into my
head.
But I don't remember what I thought, like, the main antagonist was like an alien that possessed people.
No, wasn't it like an immortal, like, child pharaoh or something like that?
Am
I thinking of a different movie?
No, you're thinking of the right movie, but like it was like an immortal entity that assumed the body of like a young pharaoh.
Mm-hmm. That sounds so similar to my apocalypse.
But maybe
thing.
That's the name of the pharaoh, Amon Gut. That's like the
yeah. Just know. It doesn't like Amon. Yes, but the last name does not sound like Egyptian or
no. So I don't know.
93.
Was there any Bond movies that came out in 93? Goldfinger.
Later, I think.
Goldeneye,
though.
Not, that's what I meant. Goldeneye was later, not Goldfinger. Goldfinger was earlier.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you think? Does sound like a Bond villain, though, doesn't it?
I don't think there was a Bond movie in 93.
There was Bond movies in the early 90s. I don't know if specifically 93.
GoldenEye was Pierce Brosnan's first
it was
appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And that game came out for the Nintendo 64.
I remember seeing my cousins play
and that
it.
Was later, right?
My cousin
it
Vinny.
Would have had to be it had to, it would have had to have been before I was 10 years old. Had to have been before 98, the GoldenEye.
But 93 is so early.
I know, it does feel really early.
That's like Super Nintendo.
What about era. Mission Impossible?
No, that's John Voight.
Was that his name?
He's, spoiler alert. He's the the secret villain of that movie.
Okay, what do you think we should go with? There's just we're getting in the weeds.
I hate getting all these wrong, but I guess we just got to go with
Indiana Jones.
Even though I think their year is wrong. I think Last Crusade came out
Temple
a couple years earlier than that.
I think maybe you're 91 right. I think maybe because River Phoenix was in it. So like early 90s, that was his
Let's
heyday.
Let's go Stargate.
I'm going to go with Stargate.
Let's throw caution to the wind.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Yogg.
So?
Stargate.
That's incorrect. Guys, you mentioned German.
Mm-hmm.
What is Germany known for? Unfortunately,
the Holocaust.
Is it Schindler's List?
It's Schindler's List.
Oh, I guess that did come out.
Amon Gut was the officer who was in charge. He's played by Ralph Fiennes in Schindler's List, released in 1993. Who was in charge of the Plaszow Krakow concentration camp? He was a special kind of piece of shit. Personally shot between 30 and 90 women and children during the liquidation of one ghetto alone. Shot a cook for serving soup that was too hot. He was just...
This is a real life historical
This is a real life man, yes.
Yeah.
He shut down a ghetto and consolidated all of them into what was known as the Plaszow concentration camp, and then told all of his prisoners, "I am your god," and basically acted like it. Was just a real piece of garbage. Ralph Fiennes in Schindler's List, just unreal. Just a very, very good job of playing a completely heartless piece
of... Well, now I know why they cast him as Voldemort.
Yeah. There's a really good video.
We need the embodiment of evil.
When I was trying to find out how to pronounce the name, there's a video in which he like kind of delves into each character that he has played, and he talks about playing Voldemort, and he talks about playing Amon Gutt. Yeah, you can read all about what a monster he was on Wikipedia and a bunch of other sites. There's a really interesting interview with his daughter on PBS where they talked about how, you know, they told her that her dad just died naturally, and her mom got mad at him one day and said, "You're going to die like your father did." And she was like, "What do you mean? He just got old and died." And they're like, "They hanged him." And that's when she found out that her father was good friends with Heinrich Himmler. And
holy shit.
Yeah. And a lot of people started from the bottom and worked their way up. But he was kind of a different person. He knew people from the inside and was able to just kind of like jump straight up and had no problem acting the part. You can actually watch his hanging in Poland online. And it's botched twice. And then the third time, they succeed. And can't say I feel too bad for him.
Oops.
Yeah, my
oops.
My bad, my blunder.
Oops.
Yep.
Holy
Keep
shit.
Oopsing.
Football is my final category for round two.
Now we're talking. Are you ready for some football?
Yay.
Located near where the Red and Assiniboine Rivers converge, IG Field is home to what city's Canadian football team? What Canadian city's football team that currently holds the Grey Cup?
Can I just shout out an answer?
Yeah,
I'm going to say the Alouettes.
I don't know any Canadian football team, so yeah, I'm here for it.
No. Nope, that's wrong.
It's one of the only teams I know. I don't know anything about Canadian football.
Winnipeg is the answer. Winnipeg.
They're just called Winnipeg?
Well, they're the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, but I asked what cities, what Canadian cities football
team. Oh, yeah. I don't even know where the Alouettes are from.
Yes, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The name Blue Bombers comes from a write-up about a 1936 exhibition match against the University of North Dakota, when Winnipeg Tribune writer Vince Lee called them the Blue Bombers, a reference to then heavyweight boxing champion Joe Louis, who is known as having the nickname the Brown Bomber. Blue Bombers caught on, and the team name was changed the following year. You know what they were called before that?
No.
Winnipeg Football Club.
Ah, yes, kind of like the Washington football team.
Exactly. So there's a bit of a traditional, precedent set for a name
Fantastic.
Like that.
Fantastic. I'm going to give you guys a choice. How does that sound?
Sure.
Great.
Music.
Yes.
Geography. Or food.
I'm kind of burnt out on geography. Maybe this is why we should pick geography, because I've been reading a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
Could
we get a slightly more detail on the geography? Like what part of the world?
South America.
No, we're going to do. Oh, you were just doing a South America thing today, weren't you?
I was just looking at a map.
You were.
Maybe we should test it out. Test out my training.
But music and food, though, those are like my two favorite things.
Yeah, I know.
I think we should go with food. You really want to do South America, don't you?
I did already ask two food questions. Just saying.
Mark hasn't asked any food questions.
And I'm fat.
All right. We'll go with food.
Look, do you really want to test yourself?
Fine.
You do. You do want to do it.
We'll go food.
Okay.
What fish was the most popular sushi? I had some people kind of fight me, but I don't know. The way I saw it phrased was sushi topping. But I'm guessing like the most popular sushi
ingredient.
What fish was the most popular sushi ingredient in Japan for the sixth year in a row, according to a 2017 survey done by a leading Japanese seafood company?
Fake crab meat. Crab with a K. No, I'm just kidding.
You might be right, honestly.
Eel?
So it's not a fish. It's a sushi, or it is a fish.
Yeah, he said, what fish?
Okay, it's either Masago or Tobiko.
Okay. I don't know either of those fish.
If he's specifying topping, it's...
No, he said, what fish, right?
Yes.
It's a fish.
As a topping for sushi. It's, correct?
It's saying, but what kind of fish is it? Not the kind of sushi. What kind of fish?
Exactly. And Masago. Okay, fine.
What's Masago?
It is fish roe. And so is Tobiko from a different kind of fish.
Right. So those are fish eggs.
Yes, but it's a topping.
But I'm right.
But he just said that he got pushback on this and he wanted to clarify that it's a fish. He's not looking for
a topping. Okay,
he's looking for a fish.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Name me a goddamn fish, damn it.
In that case, I would say like a yellowfin tuna or...
I mean, eel is so popular that it has its own sauce.
Or uni, which is sea urchin.
Oh.
Very popular in, yeah.
That was the qualifier you were looking for, Mark, was most popular?
Yes.
Uni.
Uni. Sea urchin.
Is that your guess?
Yes.
Wrong. Wrong.
I felt so good.
The correct answer is salmon.
Oh, okay.
Salmon.
Well, that's my favorite.
Brought to them by Norway through a giant push called Operation Japan. They introduced salmon to them, and Japanese people could not get enough of it.
Sounds like it was forced upon them.
Wildly operation. Popular. I don't know if it was forced upon them. I don't know
you
if it was
said
operation.
Big push.
I can't remember.
You called it an operation.
Operation. Let me see if I'm.
It's just funny because that's like my favorite. Like I could eat salmon all day every day. I'll just eat it. I fucking love salmon.
I was gonna say who doesn't like salmon, but Mark, you're not a fan. I'm guessing based on
well,
the rundown
I'm a bad
discussion.
Person to ask because
you're not into seafood, are you?
I don't like any seafood.
Yeah.
Second time I've mentioned that today.
Give us a rundown.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, the Norwegian campaign behind Japan's love of salmon sushi.
I love it. Norway's like, we support this Japan. You do you, girl.
The fish was found to be the most popular netta, or topping, for the sixth year in a row, ranked far higher than the more traditional tuna and halibut.
Because tuna is, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They love it.
Good to know.
Project Japan.
Okay.
Project Japan.
Right.
Sorry, not
operation. That sounds a little bit more cooperative.
Right, yeah,
that's a little more friendly. Operation, we're just going to fucking bomb them with fucking giant salmons.
Let's go ahead and take another break, and then you've got to rate my question, and I've got to rate my question.
Let's rate our questions.
Woo! We'll be back.
And we're back.
And we have, as we mentioned, some rate my questions.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Here he comes.
Oh, no.
The rate my question has been doing good, Mark.
How's it?
Despite your criticisms. It's been good.
Does he ever slip into this voice while you guys make love?
No.
Okay, good.
Thank you for keeping my secret shape secret.
Do you want to go first? Do you want to do your question first or me?
You go first, Mark.
Okay.
You seemed excited about it. You messaged me. You said, I've got to read my question.
So this is this was sent to me by John, a friend of mine from the internet. And he told me that he had a rate my question. He was very excited. He asked me the question. I was like, okay, great. I'll get it to Lee. And I tried to end the conversation there. And then he just gave me the answer. And I was like, you're not supposed to tell me the answer. He's like, well, I know for next time. So hopefully we get another one from him. So I cannot suss. But here's the question. What is the system of measurement used for the height of a Smurf?
A smoot?
S-M-U-R-F.
A smoot is a real life.
It is. It's like 5 feet or something.
Yeah. Named after Harold Smoot or whatever.
From he laid down. MIT. Yes.
Yeah. He laid down on the bridge.
I saw it. I seen it when I was at Berkeley. The smoots.
Oh, you found this. You saw the smoot.
Oh,
in person.
I mean, all the time. I walked over the Mass Ave bridge all the time.
Well, then you would know that a smoot is far, far too long of a unit of measurement to measure a Smurf by.
I think I may have mentioned, if Tim is listening, there was a kid in our high school whose nickname was Smoot, and he would write his name in like every fucking textbook. Smoot, Smoot.
There's something Smoot about fucking Smoots. They just got to put their name all over everything.
Seriously.
Fucking Smoot.
All right. Unit of measurement to measure a Smurf? Is that what you said?
Yes.
How many caps tall is a Smurf? Mushroom caps.
Sure.
They live in the mushrooms, though, right?
I can't. I've never seen a Smurfs TV show or movie.
Wait a second. We almost fell for it. What is the one thing that Smurfs call things? Smurfs. That Smurf is two Smurfs tall. Don't they use Smurf as like a, you know, they replace a lot of words with it?
So the glittery substance is glitter.
Right. Okay. That's kind of, I think, what we're going with here. That would be really confusing, though, because if you said a Smurf was a unit of measurement, I guess one Smurf equals one Smurf. They all seem to be about the same height.
They do. That would be a good unit of measurement if they're all the same.
Let's go with it. Yeah. Is it Smurfs, Mark?
It is not. That is incorrect. And I actually, I did know this. I thought you would know this.
Yeah?
I was almost sure. I did.
Gargamels?
I did know this. No. A Smurf is three apples high.
I had no idea. That is much taller than I expected. Maybe one apple.
Yes, he said that he recently saw the Smurfs movie. I said I'll pass it on to Lee. It should be on the episode Monday if you want to hear it. If not Monday, maybe the Monday after. And he said I watched the movie recently and thought of it randomly. And I was like, all right, you know, thanks a lot.
Nice.
And then he just goes, the answer is apples. I'm like, I thought it was in the clear, but yes, I did actually know that they are three apples high.
Cool.
Okay. Very good.
I'd give that an A. I'd say that's a solid
question. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. If you know the Smurfs universe, if you're into the Smurfiverse or the Unismurf, then it's a relatively easy question. You know, I'd give it a solid A.
I like it.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
This one comes from Evan. Evan writes, the snood is a distinctive carnuckle, a fleshy outgrowth, unique to what creature? The snood. So we were just talking about smoots.
I was going to say Smurfs. Snoods.
Snoods.
A fleshy.
Smoot. Snood.
Can you repeat that? Carnuckle. Fleshy what?
The snood is a distinctive carnuckle, a fleshy outgrowth, unique to what creature?
Fleshy.
I think I know this.
Okay.
Do you?
Yes. I think I know it as well.
What do you think it is?
We'll say it on three.
One.
One, two,
two,
three.
Giraffe.
Turkey.
Oh.
I think it's the thing on the front of the turkey.
I think you might be right, Lee.
That would be my guess. There are two hints along with this that I have not read yet.
Can you read the question one more time?
Sure. The snood, S-N-O-O-D, is a distinctive carnuckle, a fleshy outgrowth unique to what creature? A turkey's snood, I think, is what we're looking at here.
I think you're right.
Maybe you're right. I think carnuckle made me think that it was something hard.
Knuckular?
Yeah.
Like the things that the giraffe has, the horns.
Knuck-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Knuckular.
We turn a phrase here on the no-no.
Yeah. Fleshy. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
All right. Well, should we take a look at these hints here and see if they line up?
Let's look at one
hint. Have any impact? This says easy mode number one. The most popular deli cold cut in America is made from this animal's meat.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And the second clue is
it is
this bird is native to North America and originally domesticated in Mexico. These are good additional facts.
That is a good fact.
I'm feeling good about
turkey as well.
Yep. And the answer here, yes, is turkey.
Nice.
Yep. Yes, I like this question. Snood is a fun word, so that automatically, I'm into it. You get some fun words going in your trivia questions.
I think let me spitball this here. Let me see what you guys think of this. I think a really fun version of this question would be, what bird that was domesticated in Mexico has a feature called a snood?
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't mention the fleshy part, because that makes it a little too easy.
That makes it hard.
Well, yeah. Hello? have you done my
trivia? It did throw you off a little bit, though. You were thinking giraffe.
Well, because of the knuckle thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. The carnuckle. It's interesting. I mean, yeah, there's definitely a lot of different options, and as a quiz master, you run into this sometimes, like, what do I include in the question? What do I take out? You know, some of it's interesting information. Some of it is hint worthy information. These easy modes certainly do add extra flavor and make it a little bit easier. But if you wanted to add some of that detail and maintain the difficulty, I think Mark's suggestion is a smart choice there, including the Mexican domestication fact.
Yeah, I really like that fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a great question, though.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Evan.
I like that a lot.
Okay,
plus for you.
Yes. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a missed correction, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966, and we will rate it on the air.
Are y'all ready? Oh, as a bonus, here's the music question I was going to ask you earlier.
Because
in our break, I was saying that I was pretty sure that you guys would get this. So just so you guys don't go without, here's the music question I was going to ask. What band was known for using a large PA system known as the Wall of Sound starting in 1974?
Well, Wall of Sound is a production technique that Phil Spector used.
I would say
but that's
the Beach. No, Beach Boys.
No.
Well,
74,
so,
you said?
Oh god.
Yes, this is not talking about the production technique. This is right. Not the Phil Spector.
Unrelated. This is a series of amplifiers.
This is a series of, I think it was around nearly 600 speakers.
Jesus.
Yes.
Here's some options. Kiss, AC/DC, no? Led Zeppelin.
Maybe.
The Who.
Maybe. The Who was around earlier than 74, but...
But this is when the Wall of Sound
But Pete Townsend was like, I think it might be the Who.
600 speakers.
That sounds like the Who. Pete Townsend. Fuck? Pete Townsend was like all about like just being as loud as fucking possible. He was like known for it.
I can't even build a mental picture of this right now.
My dad used to tell me this silly quote where, you know, there's that's My Generation by The Who. Mm-hmm. Hope I die before I get old.
Mm-hmm.
And like interviewers like, Pete Townsend, do you hope you die before you get old? He's like, yes, absolutely. And like they interviewed him in the 90s. Like, Pete Townsend, how do you feel about that quote? And he goes, what? That's my dad's
funny guy.
Joke. Yeah. Anyway.
Did he have 600 amplifiers?
He had a bunch of amplifiers.
600.
Band. Wall of Sound.
74.
I remember my sibling talking about a band and their Wall of Sound.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Go on.
And like they talked about it all the time. Like, maybe it was The Who. I don't know why. I don't know why I want to say The Velvet Underground, but they were notoriously more of like,
yeah, what are they going to do with 600 amps?
Performance art in terms of like visuals and stuff, not specifically with their sound. I mean, yes, with their music, but
too
not
much
like
work,
they were.
Man.
Basically, what I'm trying to say here is that they weren't like gear nerds, whereas Pete Townsend was a gear nerd.
Black Sabbath?
74.
Tommy Iommi?
No.
Queen?
Wall of Sound.
Queen were gear nerds. Was it their bass player invented gear for them? So they could play louder, right?
For which band?
Queen.
Amplifiers.
They were always pushing boundaries. They ran out the tape. They ran the tape clear when they recorded Bohemian Rhapsody. So many vocal takes from one.
I think it might be the Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones. Really?
I think it's either the Who or the Rolling Stones.
I mean, they were a big band. I mean, they still are a big band, the Rolling Stones.
What is the one record that the Rolling Stones made? They recorded it, apparently, like, in a basement on a cocaine binge.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Could be any number of their albums.
Which, I mean, we just saw like the Tammy show and the Rolling Stones were on it.
Yeah, that was before 74, though.
That was like, what was it, 1965?
I just don't see them as being like a loud, like the loud band. Like
they got pretty intense. What about the Doors? I don't think they have a Wall of Sound vibe. I'm thinking the Who.
Let's go with it. The Who.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. I'm just going to go ahead and make this my last question.
Okay, yeah, we did suss that.
Because I thought, I thought it was going to be easy. I'm going to share my desktop with you and show you. This is This is the Wall of Sound by a band called The Grateful Dead.
Oh, really?
That was put together by a man that actually
was on LSD.
So he actually was. The song "Kid Charlemagne" by Steely Dan is about this guy named Owsley Stanley, who produced LSD in large quantities and actually went to jail for it. And when he got out of jail, he worked on making this Wall of Sound. And there are many pictures here. You can see the Grateful Dead here playing.
Oh, shit.
There are a couple of different reports of what consisted of the Wall of Sound. 89 300-watt solid state and 350-watt vacuum tube amplifiers, generating a total of 26,400 watts of audio power through 604 speakers total, or 586 JBL speakers and 54 Electro Voice tweeters, powered by 48 Macintosh MC2300 amps. That is 28,800 watts of continuous power.
Wow.
The bass, so the crazy thing here, there's many crazy things here. so each instrument was basically given a dedicated, their own dedicated channel. And Phil Lesh, their bass player, each one of his strings had their own channel.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yes. It was very, very ridiculous. And because of it, it was very, very clear. The bass drum had its own channel, the snare drum. So it came through very clear, and they were apparently clearly heard through as far as a quarter mile away. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you can see it's just scaffolding. I'm sure you'll put a couple of these pictures in the show notes.
It's fucking insane.
It is.
I've never seen this or heard of this. This is amazing.
It is absolutely fucking bonkers.
Oh my God. Can you imagine being there?
Did they just play the one show with this?
No. They toured with this.
Oh my God.
So they ended up retiring it after a while. The rising cost of fuel and personnel, as well as friction among many of the newer crew members and associated hangers-on, contributed to the band's retirement in 1974, and the Wall of Sound was disassembled. So I don't think it lasted super long.
We need to watch videos, Lee. We need to experience the Wall of Sound.
Yeah, and there
seems ambitious. I can understand why they. That's incredible. They probably were like, "All right, we pulled it off. Let's
did it. Yeah, let's."
Jimbo is complaining about having to connect speakers 400 through 500 every afternoon.
Yeah,
let's give him a break.
So, The Grateful Dead is the correct answer.
Wow,
nice. All right, well, I have a music question to cap off our episode for you guys as well. McKinley Morganfield, who would inspire bands such as the Rolling Stones, Cream, and Fleetwood Mac with his, quote, screaming guitar and howling piano on a 1956 tour of England, was known professionally by what name? McKinley Morganfield, who would inspire bands such as the Rolling Stones, Cream, and Fleetwood Mac with his, quote, screaming guitar and howling piano on a 1956 tour of England, was known professionally by what name?
Little Richard? I mean, he's not British, but, he must have toured England.
Well, that's where all those bands are from. Well, Fleetwood Mac?
No, they're not English. Lindsey Buckingham is English, but Stevie Nicks is not.
Well,
is Lindsey Buckingham English? No, he's not. Is he? I don't know. Who cares?
He's not, but is Mick Fleetwood British?
I don't.
And did they start there and move to America?
They did not start there.
You always speak with certainty, but sometimes you're really wrong. You might be right here, but I know that back then, originally they were a blues band. And I think they had British members.
They might have British members.
Like, they had that one dude that just recently died. And then, like, half of the band, like, almost everyone.
Peter Green.
Almost all of the band quit. Except for, I think, Mick Fleetwood and maybe, like, John McVie. I think even maybe John McVie was, like, brought in. And then that's when Buckingham Nicks came on. And then they started doing, like, you know, the new Stevie, the new Fleetwood Mac stuff. So we can presuppose maybe that this person can be American and they just went on a tour in England. I think you're right there.
But you know what? I think, what was his name again, Lee?
Mackenzie Morganfield.
McKinley Morganfield.
McKinley Morganfield.
Now, he said guitar and piano. Are we to assume that this person played both?
It was part of an act. The act went on tour, but it was under this artist's name.
So he played both.
Our question.
The group went on tour, but it was under the singular artist's name. And the show reviews were complimenting the screaming guitar and howling piano, or remarking
okay.
on it.
Okay, so this person didn't necessarily play both. I think Little Richard is a really, really good fucking guess. But I mean, are we not thinking that Richard is his real first name?
That's what I was gonna say. Like, I think
it might not be. It might be his middle name. McKinley Richard Morganfield. Hey, look, guy, if you're going to make it in the big time, you can't go by McKinley. That guy was, somebody that president was shot, wasn't he? They would say.
Maybe it was.
I heard him say.
Maybe it was.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
That's another good option, yeah. Or
Fats Domino.
I think Fats Domino.
I found my thrill.
I don't think he was touring in 56, was he?
On Blueberry Hill. I don't know. He was definitely doing black and white times. I mean, was he doing, like, fucking killer guitar shit? I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, other Fats Domino stuff where it would have been, like, blistering. But you know who was, you know who was blistering? Tiny Richard. Tiny Richard was blistering.
Toured England in 1956.
You know, and I want to say I've seen that name before. I think you're right. I think you're right with Little Richard.
Okay.
Do you want to suss some more, or do you just want to take the plunge?
Inspired. Rolling Stones and Fleetwood Mac.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Bum, 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 bum. See, yeah, but Jerry Lee Lewis, I can't imagine his name is. That whole name is made
McKinley
up.
McKinley Morganfield.
McKinley Morganfield. '56. I mean, it couldn't be somebody like Elvis. He was always Elvis.
No, I don't think it was Elvis. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's him.
And also, I just can't see Fleetwood Mac or the Rolling Stones being, like, inspired by Elvis.
Now, Elvis's name was Elvis. Elvis Aaron Presley. Because his middle name was A-R-O-N.
Yeah.
It's not him. And I mean, what were the bands? Fleetwood Mac?
Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones.
And Cream.
It's got to be someone black. I mean, those are all, like, R&B, like blues. You know, it's got to be someone like, oh God, it's,
James Brown or Little Richard.
I mean, maybe, honestly, maybe not Little Richard, because all those bands did blues stuff, and Little Richard was not like a blues.
He wasn't bluesy, no.
I mean, that's it could be like B.B. King, or it could be like Howlin' Wolf. Or it King. Could be like, yeah.
B.B. King, actually.
B.B. King is good, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, he plays guitar. I don't know about the piano, but
he probably had a piano player.
I was going to say, just like we were talking about Small Richard and how he played piano and didn't play guitar.
What was it? Screaming Guitar and Howling Piano? That sounds like B.B. King. He made his... He had a particular tone, and like he made his guitar sound a particular way. That's why he was who he was, you know? I don't know. What do you think? Little Richard or B.B. King?
Let's go with B.B. King.
Okay. B.B. King.
No. I'm sorry. Great sus, though. Had several details correct. Mark, yes, Fleetwood Mac, British band originally. Mick Fleetwood is British, as well as Peter Green. You sussed that correctly. And you were right on track with the blues thing. I was talking about the father of modern Chicago blues. Muddy Waters.
Oh, Muddy Waters. Fuck.
Known for hits such as Hoochie Coochie Man. I just want to make love to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready.
Okay, lots of sex.
Mm-hmm. And you might know that Rolling Stone is a Muddy Waters song where the band got their name.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and rock and roll was actually, from what I understand, a euphemism for making the humps.
Yes. And Muddy we hope Waters. That you have humps in your future, listeners. Yeah. Thank you for, you know, listening. And we give you our hump blessings.
Maybe go grab that special someone right now and make humps with them.
Just do it.
And then name your child either Mark or Lee or Kyle Ann.
Mm-hmm. Or some kind of portmanteau of all three. Mark, yeah. Lee, Kyle Ann. Mark, Lee, Kyle Ann. Bob White?
Yeah, Lee.
Parkley.
Yes.
Well,
Parkley.
Kyle, thank you for joining us again as a all-time susser.
Of course.
And adding your expertise and your guessing as well.
I feel like I haven't been doing so great these last few episodes.
That's all right. But that's fun, okay, you know? I guess. It's fun to sus.
Hey, Kyle, neither have we.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform, and you could support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our newest proverbial lightkeeper, Lisa. You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. So, oh, hi, Mark, and you're tearing me apart, Lisa. I'm sure your life was a living hell when that movie came out and got popular just as much as mine was. We have that in common. Thanks to our quiz daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim. Our team captains, Lydia, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David, Holbrook. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Nicole, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Sean, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thanks to our Rumpelstiltskins, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren. I always want to say Jeffren. I always want to combine those two. I just had to get that out. Jeffren, Stephen, Michael C,
Mike Carnuckle,
Michael S,
Mike Snood,
and Michael J.
Mike, Jamaican restaurants need to come back to the Edison Mall, am I right?
Yeah, I can't believe you went with Snoot instead of Smoot. I was really hoping for a Smoot.
It could be Snoot or Smoot. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Or call us. Please call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on the old Facebook, search for the No Nonsense Trivia podcast, and join us there. And finally, please, it's been a minute, guys. It's been a minute.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. Don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners, have a great week.